And if you would just grab your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. I do want to just point out a little bit about our background. The background was designed by Jennifer Neal, and Jennifer's concept here is that this is in that dark place that Jonah finds himself, because up in the left-hand corner, God wants Jonah to proclaim a message of mercy and grace to people that Jonah doesn't like very much. And so Jonah is responding down in the lower right-hand corner with surprise and rebellion. Last week, we learned that Jonah ran from his vocation, and in running from his vocation, ran from God. And this week, we see what happens. And so let's pick up the story here at Jonah chapter 1 with verse 17. And then we'll continue through the second chapter. Let's listen carefully, for this is God's word. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray that you would take this passage and open it up for us. But we also pray that you would take our lives and open them up, not just to you, but to the world that you have made and loved. This we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah ran away from God. Jonah also, as I said earlier, ran away from his vocation as a prophet. As a prophet, his job was to proclaim the salvation of the Lord. And in this case, God had directed Jonah to proclaim salvation to people that Jonah hated, but whom God loved. Israel's enemies, the Ninevites. And so Jonah booked himself on a med cruise to get away from his vocation and from God. He was running from God. And let me put it this way, running from God and running from our vocation from God never works. It never does. God sent a storm to get Jonah back to his vocation and back to God himself. Jonah wound up thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish. What kind of fish was it? A whale, perhaps? A big bad old grouper, perhaps. Who knows? Either way, God provided the vocation, God provided the storm, and God provided the fish. So here Jonah is in the belly of the fish at the lowest point on earth he could possibly be. The sea in storm and the fish are highly symbolic in the Old Testament. The water symbolizes the waters of chaos at creation before God brought order and meaning to it. The fish is symbolic of Leviathan, which is a symbol of the radical evil that opposes God. Both were seen in ancient times as being in control of life. Chaos was always lurking in the deeps beneath your toes, in the depths of the waters, just waiting to break out against humanity and waiting to break out against you. Leviathan, evil, could show up at any time and take over life. Note what Jonah shows us. Both the chaos of the water in storm and the great fish are under the sovereign direction of the living God. Neither chaos nor evil are in charge. God is in charge. Don't get me wrong, chaos is disruptive, evil is bad. The point biblically is that they never have the last word. They never do. God will always bend them so that they serve God's purposes, which is why Jonah finds himself in the belly of the beast in the deep waters of chaos. I know it's a fish, but I call it a beast because that's what it feels like when you're in it. It's something wild, it's uncontrollable, and it's scary. I don't say this lightly or easily. God uses the tough times we find ourselves in, the times when we find ourselves confined to a small space, and we think we can't maneuver, we can't move, we can't find our way out of it. God uses those times to maneuver us, to draw us back to himself, to recover our identity in Christ. We can reject that and run, we can. Or we can be honest about where we are and who we are, and we can turn to the Lord, heart, mind, and soul. Like all of you, I've had some tough times, and I will tell you that I would not go through some of those tough times again for love or money. But I also know that in the midst of them, as God called out to me, and as I was able by his power and grace to turn to him, God used them to deepen me, broaden me, and take me closer to his heart than anything else in my life that I had ever experienced. I would not be who I am today without those times. I could not do what I do, either as a husband or a friend or a Christian, without those times. I am not making light of suffering when I say this, not in any way. I just know, as Jonah shows, that when we are in the belly of the beast and we turn to God, God restores us to life. We become focused, centered, our hearts purified, our lives expanded, strangely, but expanded. But only if we do, and only when we do the right thing when we are in that place. What is the right thing? Prayer. In the belly of the beast, Jonah prays. You knew I was going to say that. But let's take a look at the prayer. There are at least three surprises in the prayer. The first surprise is that Jonah does not pray the way you would expect him to. You would expect Jonah to go for it in what is called lament. Lament is a particular form of prayer we find in the Psalms in which people learned how to pray in the midst of the wake of loss and heartbreak. And what they learned to do, directed by God, was to get in God's face and have at it, to let their anger, their confusion, their disappointment out before the Lord. That kind of prayer is provided for us by God in the Bible to use when we need to use it. And you would think that it is really needed here, but it's not really what Jonah does. The second surprise is this. You would expect that Jonah would pour his heart out extemporaneously before God. Just let his heart do the talking. Unburden himself with a torrent of his own words. And that's not at all what he does. Instead, Jonah prays words that Jonah has learned over a lifetime from the book of Psalms, the Hebrew prayer book. Over a lifetime of worship, he has prayed these prayers together with God's people in public worship again and again and again until they entered all the way into his mind and into his heart and into his soul. This prayer is nothing but one long direct quote from over 20 psalms out of the 150 that are provided for us in the Bible. In other words, Jonah, the same way you and I get to, Jonah is at a point where he doesn't even have the words anymore in the belly of the beast. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to pray on his own. He can't do it. He's done for. So he uses prayer words from others that have so entered his mind and life that they are memorized. He doesn't know what to pray, but others do know what to pray in that kind of situation. And so he uses their words to express his heart before God. In one of my tough times, a long time ago, I got to a point where I just ran out of prayer. I just ran out of the ability to pray. I wasn't angry, I was just out of prayer. I was so down. My devotional life was basically non-existent. And so I tried an experiment. I took a prayer book that I'd been given when I was 13 years old as a gift. I'd kept it with me for years. I'd never used it. And I opened it, and I began to pray some of those prayers. I used the prayers of others who knew what to pray when I didn't. And slowly, it took a long time, I was able to pray from my heart again. And it worked. It really worked. Here's one of those prayers. Oh God, you are my God. I used to pray this before I got out of bed in the morning. None of these words are mine. Oh God, you are my God. To you, I devote my heart and my entire life. Grant me your grace, I implore you. I ask you that I may live today as in your presence and walk in the path of the life of Jesus, following where he leads by the power of his grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That was about all I could do. And it worked. It got me into the presence of God. When you are in the belly of the beast and you can't pray, let others lead you by their prayers. Nothing is better for this than the book of Psalms. Don't just read them. Pray them. Let them school you in how to pray as they schooled Jonah in how to pray. And then there's a third surprise. This is the biggest one. What Jonah prays in the belly of the beast is a prayer of thanksgiving. He gives thanks to God for what God is about to do. Amazing. Jonah expresses faith in the midst of that place where there is nothing that he can do but pray. And in our lives, it can sound a little bit like this. Lord, thank you. I do not like the situation that I'm in, and I can't see my way out of it. But I give you thanks that the time will come when I will be able to look back on it in wonder as to how you used it to your glory and for my benefit. Until then, thanks. But there's also a big question we have about this whole prayer thing that Jonah engages in and models for us in this little chapter in this wonderful book. Why pray? Why pray at all? What good does prayer do? We're being asked a lot about this right now in our culture, especially in the wake of another school shooting. What good does prayer do? Spare me your prayers, is what some people are saying out of bitterness and rage, and I understand that. I know you do too. Isn't it better to take action? By the way, these are good questions. These are good questions. And I don't really have an answer, but I would like to respond to that with just a couple of things. Just a couple of things. First, prayer is never a matter of either or. Either we pray or we take action. Current critics of prayer seem not to understand that. Prayer always leads to action. It is always both and. We pray and then we act. It is never either or. But second, here's what prayer is. Prayer is the most deeply human action in which we can ever engage. That's a quote from Eugene Peterson. And here's why he says it. Prayer isn't just asking for things from God. Prayer is being attentive, fully attentive to God and immersed in who God is and responsive to who God is and what God wills in every part of our lives. It drenches us. It marinates us in the presence of God and in who God is, in God's being, in God's words for all of life. And that form of prayer provides a way of acting or living that comes out of who God is instead of our desires, which are limited in every way. And then third, God does release his grace into the lives of those for whom we pray, including our own. How? I don't know. I have no idea how this works. What I do know is that when I pray for others, I know that God releases his grace, his presence, his life into the lives of those for whom I pray. I've seen this too often not to stand before you this morning and mention that and remind us of it. Okay, that was three, not just a couple. I'm still learning how to count. So Jonah prays as best as he can. It's the prayers of others, but it expresses the intent of his heart. Stripped of everything but God, he finds in the belly of the beast that God is enough. And as a result, God sees to it that the sea beast burps Jonah out onto the beach. Speaking of three, did you notice that Jonah was in the belly of the beast, symbolic of evil, chaos, and death, for 3 days and three nights, and then is restored to life? Did you notice that? Very interesting. One time Jesus was asked for a sign by his critics. He was being challenged about his identity and his vocation, his calling. He was being challenged by the Pharisees. And in response, Jesus told them, "You want a sign? The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah." They wanted something they could see with their eyes to prove to them that Jesus was who he was claiming to be. So what is the sign of Jonah? It is Jonah's survival after 3 days in the depths, which is a clear foreshadowing of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus died. After 3 days, he rose from the dead. And the sign of Jonah is Christ's death and resurrection. The proof of God's saving love, God's fiery, holy, redeeming, relentless, reconciling love is the cross. The proof of God's reality and power is the resurrection. And the proof that our lives matter, that your life counts. The proof that God is Lord over chaos, over evil, over death, is Jesus. And that's the reason that we pray all the time in his name. That's the reason. So let's pray. Lord, this morning some of us are in the belly of the beast right now, right this moment. And on everyone's behalf, O Lord, I thank you for what you are about to do. Some of us are complacent or running our own way. Send a storm. Some of us are walking close to you. Send us to the Ninevehs that we fear to face. For you are Lord of all and over all and above all. And more than anything else, O Lord Jesus, the Savior of the whole world, the Savior of everyone and everything in it, teach us to pray. Teach us, O Lord, to pray. In your name we pray. Amen.